Ahora, desde tu casa, una clase Vaughan. Por videoconferencia, infórmate llamando al 91-133-5833. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com. Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome. Good morning. Tuesday morning. Wake up, wake up. It's time to get up. It's time for your English responsibility. It's time to continue improving your English with me and with other teachers on Vaughan Radio. 7:30 in the morning on a Tuesday, the second day of the month of March. We're approaching spring. Springtime. The spring. And the weather is often good in spring, although sometimes there are cold spells. Cold spells son días de frío, olas de frío, cold wave, a cold spell. Yes, hasta el 40 de mayo, ¿no? No te quites el sayo. Until the 40th of May, which is really the 9th of June, right? The 40th of May is the same as the 9th of June, because May has 31 days. So we need to add 9 more in June to reach the 40th of May. But nevertheless, welcome, and here we are together on a normal day. It's a normal day, another day in your routine and in my routine. Very little really changes. You can read the newspapers or listen to the news on the radio or watch the news on television, and they will show you all kinds of dangerous or threatening events, but these things are very, very extraordinary, very non-representative. The media, los medios de comunicación, we say the media, they love extraordinary events that don't represent normality. The media doesn't like normality. It's boring. It doesn't sell. Yes, people don't watch the news or listen to the news on the radio. If they explain everything the way everything really is. It's too boring. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our news program of Tuesday morning, March 2nd, 2021. And the news for today, the breaking news, noticias de última hora. The breaking news for today is that of the 47 million people in Spain, only 2 have died in traffic accidents or similar this morning. Many babies have been born during the night. And right now at 7:30 in the morning, of the 47 million people, approximately 17 million are going to work in their cars or by public transport or on foot. Another 7 million are going to school on school buses or on foot or with their mothers or fathers. And another 14 million people are starting their day with housework, the household chores, etc. So the breaking news of today, as every day, is the successful beginning of another productive day for Spain. That's the only important news item, really. Because if that news item changes, we will have a revolution. It will be a disaster. Other pieces of news, the government, the coalition government is not very stable. Maybe there will be elections called before the summer. Or there was an explosion in Baghdad that killed 17 people. Or there was a plane that crashed in Nueva Guinea. With 17 people on board. Or there's a These pieces of news are extraordinary events, totally unrepresentative of reality. However, that's what we hear on the news. And that's what people, and some people are hypersensitive to these things and get the wrong idea. The world is getting better and better and better, and it will continue getting better and better for more and more people. So let's not worry about it. The world is not as dramatic as it seems. Eh? It's pretty boring, to tell you the truth. Normalidad, aburrida. Yes, but people like the dramatic. Our appetite for the dramatic goes far, so probably too far. And because of this, we have trouble seeing the world as it really is. Yes, seeing the world the way it really is. Because our appetite for the dramatic moves our attention, turns our attention to the extraordinary events, the dramatic events, the plane crash in New Guinea, the problem with the coalition government. Coalition governments have existed or similar for 3,000 years, and they still, and we still live okay, and we still get better. We still go to work. We still make love. We still have babies. So try to temper your appetite for the dramatic. Try to see the world as it really is. Because if you don't, your appetite for the dramatic will lead you astray. Yeah. We crave drama. Crave is desire. Dramatic instincts. And this causes us to have misconceptions about the world, an overly dramatic worldview, etc. But in any case, let's get going. Let's start. They pay me $10 a month. Really? That's not very much. No, no, you're supposed to ask a question. What do you mean, ask a question? Well, look, I say the answer, and then you say the question that would elicit that answer. Oh, but do they really pay you $10 a month? Yes, they pay me only $10 a month. In return for what? A communique. In return for what? In return for using my name. Ah, me. You mean you don't have to lift a finger? No, no. They use my name. Yes. And so, and they pay me $10 a month. Well, that's not very much. Yeah, I know, but, well, I think probably Banco Popular pays Rafa Nadal. I don't know how much to use his name and his image. Yeah, I'm not very famous. And so my name and my image are not very valuable. So, but $10 a month is $10 that falls from the sky into my hand. All right. But you have to ask a question. You're supposed to ask a question. What's the answer? They pay me $10 a month. Okay. How much do they pay you? Or how much per month? Or how much a month do they pay you? All right. He pays me once a month. Only once. Yeah. How often does he pay you? How often does he pay you? How often does he pay you? He pays me. Pigate Glassy pays Zaragoza Zarzuela pays. He pays me once a month. He's tall, dark, and handsome. Who? The person in question. He's tall, dark, and handsome. Great. You're supposed to ask a question. Oh, say to, he's what? He's tall, dark, and handsome. What does he look like? Very good. What does he look like? Do you want to know what he looks like? Yeah, what does he look like? He's tall, dark, and handsome. What do you mean by dark? Is he African? Sub-Saharan African? Black? No. He's dark. He's from Malta, the island of Malta. Now, the ethnic makeup of the people in Malta is partially Italian, Greek, North African. It's a mix. a potpourri, all right? But he's very handsome, muy guapo. He's tall, dark, and handsome. What does he look like? What does he look like? He's pleasant, intelligent, and hardworking. Wow. Who, the same person? No, this is a different man. He's pleasant, intelligent, and hardworking. Well, what is he like? Afecto. What is he like? Now, what does he look like? What's he like? What's he like? What is he like? What are you like? ¿Cómo eres tú? De verdad. What are you really like? What am I like? Do you want to know what I'm like? Fíjate. ¿Quieres saber cómo soy? Ahora, voy a decir dos frases en inglés. Primero, ¿quieres saber cómo soy? Y la segunda, ¿quieres saber lo que a mí me gusta? Escucha. First, ¿quieres saber cómo soy? Do you want to know what I am like? Pero siempre con la contracción. Do you want to know what I'm like? Segundo, ¿quieres saber lo que a mí me gusta? Do you want to know what I like? So, do you want to know what I'm like? And do you want to know what I like? I like. The only difference is the verb to be, am. I'm like. Yes, I want to know what you are like. Me? I'm pleasant and hardworking. Intelligent, I'm not sure. But this man, the man I'm referring to, is pleasant, intelligent, and hardworking. Well, what's he like? What's he like? What's he like? He shouts when he gets angry. Who, the same person? No, a different person. He shouts when he gets angry. What does he do when he gets angry? What does he do? What does he do? What does he do when he gets angry? What does he do? What does he do? What does he do? What does he 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 do? What does he do? Oh. ¿Quieres poner con la fonética? Uno puedes acercar mucho a la correcta pronunciación. To reach perfect, impossible. But you can come close. Does he? What does he do when he gets angry? Gets angry. What does he do when he gets angry? He shouts. He shouts. Grita. Okay. She visits her sister when she finishes work. When she finishes work. She visits her sister when she finishes work. Now what does she do when she finishes work? What does she do? What does she? Does he know? What does he do when he gets angry? What does he do? Aurelia, what does Vidania? What does she do when she finishes work? She visits her sister every day. Yeah. Why? Well, her sister lives on, it's on the way home. So when she finishes work, she drives home. But she has to use a street where her sister lives. There's a shortcut, you see. She knows a shortcut to her house to avoid two traffic lights. And on one of the streets on the shortcut is the street where her sister lives. So she always stops to say hello. So they get along. Yeah, she and her sister get along. Are they twin sisters? No, they're twins, yes, but they're not identical twins. They're fraternal twins. They don't look alike. Well, they look alike because they're sisters, but not because they're twins. They are not identical. So they are fraternal twins. Mellizas, no gemelas. And so she visits her sister on the way home when she finishes work. I read the newspaper when I get to work. Richard, what do you do? What do you do when you get to work? What do I do? What do I do? What do I? What do I do when I get to work? I read the newspaper. All right. Really? No. But this is a sentence. He takes an aspirin when he has a headache. What does he do when he has a headache? What does he do? What does he do? What does he, does he, does he, does he? De hecho, what does he? What does he do? What does he do when he has a headache? What does he do? He takes an aspirin. Estoy repitiendo hasta la saciedad fonética y gramática básica. Because the secret of speaking any language well, speaking, not understanding, the secret to speaking any language well is absolute agility with the basics. Not the advanced grammar, the basic grammar. What does he do when he has a headache? He takes an aspirin. Yeah. He has headaches about once a month. He has headaches about once a month. How often does he have headaches? About once a month. So he takes an aspirin about once a month, right? Well, it depends on, well, yes, correct. Sometimes he takes two aspirins. Sometimes he takes two. If the headache is strong. All right. We went to the restaurant last Saturday. Last Saturday, not last Sunday. Well, when did you go to the restaurant? When did you go to the restaurant? When did you go? When did you go to the restaurant? We went to the restaurant. 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 Lo decimos casi como dos sílabas. Restaurant. We went to the restaurant last Saturday. I lost my money in the casino. In the casino. I lost my money. Where did you lose? Zaragoza, where did you lose your money? Lose your money. Where did you lose your? This is buen español. Where did you lose your money? Money. No, where did you lose your money? Lose your money. Money, I lost my money in the casino. Yes? Playing roulette? No. Playing poker? No. Playing at the slot machines? No. Where did you lose your money in the casino? At the blackjack table. Oh, playing 21. Playing blackjack. How much did you lose? I'm not going to say. It's too embarrassing. Come on, you can tell me. I'm your best friend. No, because you'll tell other people. No, I promise. My lips are sealed. I won't tell anyone. Well, I lost 10,000 euros. 10,000? In one night? Yeah, last Saturday. You're crazy. You lost 10,000 euros. Thank God. Hey, Jenny. Richard lost 10,000 euros at the casino last Saturday. Can you believe it? And Jenny says, well, really? Well, I'm going to tell Joni. You see, hey, you told me you were going to keep it a secret. You said my lips are sealed. How can you lose 10,000 euros at the blackjack table? I don't know. I kept thinking I could win the money back. I lost some money, about 2,000 euros. And so I decided that I would try to win the money back. Listen, okay. Now what are you going to do? Have you told your wife? I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to... Well, you're the only... You and now Jenny, your wife, are the only ones who know. All right. Me, I've lost money. But very, very little. When I go to a casino, but it's not very often, I've gone to a casino. I've been to the casino in Monte Carlo. I've been to the casino in Estoril in Portugal. And I've been to two casinos in Las Vegas. And that's it. Four times in my life. And on all four occasions, I took $200 and converted the $200 into chips. Well, not true. I converted $100. No, I don't remember. About $100 I converted into chips. Fichas. And I played blackjack. until I lost my chips. With the other $100, I played the slot machines, las máquinas tragaperras. And that was it. I decided $200, but I also gave my wife $200. I said, okay, let's... So $400. I said, let's have a good time. Let's lose the money. Well, who knows? Maybe we can win. But when we run out of money, then we stop playing in the casino. So you need to do it that way because it's really dangerous. You can lose a lot of money if you get obsessed, if you become obsessed. All right. I was at home last night. Where were you? Where were you last night? At home? Really? Yeah, I was at home last night. You were? Yes, I was. Were you really? Yes, I was. I was at home. Well, you know, I called, and you didn't answer. Well, after 9 p.m., I silenced my cell phone. But didn't you see my missed call? Yes, I saw it. But I saw it at 11:30. My God, you saw it more than an hour later. Well, I don't check my cell phone every minute of the day like you. I'm not a slave of my cell phone. Sometimes I see missed calls 3 or 4 hours after after my telephone registers the call. You see, I always keep my cell phone silenced because I do radio and television. And I don't want it to start ringing in the middle of a radio show, and especially in the middle of a falso directo, false. No sé cómo se dice. I don't know how to say that in English. Let me see if I can find out, because I do it every day, falsos directos. Falso directo en inglés. I don't know how to say it. Falso directo. Here's word reference. All right. Let's see. A delayed broadcast. Emisión retrasada. Tape delayed broadcast. Okay. Tape delayed. Tape means grabado. Y retrasado. Emisión radiofónica en este caso. Retrasado pero grabado. Okay. I prefer Spanish. Yes. Tape delayed broadcast. In which case, falso directo means that, for example, in television, you start, maybe it's 25 minutes. Well, for example, on Spanish television, La Dos de Televisión Española, I have a daily show, and it's a falso directo. So, I start, and I have to continue until the end, as if the program were live. If something happens, if my telephone rings, or if somebody starts making noise with a hammer, boom, 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 in minute number 20, well, we have to stop. And we have lost the 20 minutes. We have to go. We have to wait until the person stops making noise and start again. So, I have only twice in my life, no, three times in my life, I remember losing time or having to stop in the middle of a falso directo, in the middle of a taped program, and have to go back and start again. In one case, I lost 23 of the 25 minutes. It was funny. It's a bit frustrating, but you take it with philosophy. You just continue working. You assimilate these things. You know, con filosofía. And okay, let's do it again. My God, pero me gustó lo que estaba en racha. It can be frustrating sometimes. And my God, it was going well. I hope I can repeat the power of those 23 minutes. And usually you can. In my case, it's different because I don't follow a script. So if I have to repeat this radio segment, it will be totally different. Well, not totally, because I have these little sentences. He takes an aspirin when he has a headache, etc. But the way I'll approach these, or the tangents I'll go off on, will probably be different. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter to me. All right. I was at home last night. Where were you? I was watching TV last night at 10 p.m. I was watching TV last night at 10 p.m. Question. Richard, what were you doing last night at 10 p.m.? What is this, an interrogation? I didn't kill anybody. I was watching television. I was watching TV last night at 10 p.m. I was with Pepe last night. Question. Who were you with last night? Who was I with? Yes, who were you? Who were you with? ¿Quién estuviste con? O sea, ¿con quién estuviste? Who were you with last night? I was with Pepe. We were watching TV. We were watching a football game on television. All right. So I have an alibi. I'll be right back.
Yo en mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad. Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes, como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad. Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa. No estás como en una clase típica cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo. Lo trabajas hablando, y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que la agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto. Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Found Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
You're listening. Estás escuchando Vaughn Radio. Lo que escuchas, Vaughn Radio.
If you haven't made any decision yet about your children or young adolescents concerning summer camps, July and August and early September, we offer summer camps in different places around Spain. We also offer camps in Canada and other parts of the world. And so look into it now, because the sooner you sign up, the better. The sooner you sign up, because a time always comes in the early spring or the mid-spring in which we're full. Sometimes we're booked up, and some parents get upset. And it's usually because they didn't call in time. They waited too late. They waited too long. So for the summer camps for children or for young adolescents, think about it. Try to make your decision now and to act on it, or at least to call us in Baugan for information about this. Thank you.
Más información en el 911-333-5832 o en grupobaugan.com.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Baugan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Baugan.com.
Aprovecha el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resuelve tu viejo problema con el inglés de manera definitiva. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan. Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Again and welcome back. All right, 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday, March 2nd. March is the third month of the year. March, marzo. Yes, it's a good month. Yes. It's the last month of the winter up to the 21st, and then we have the spring. Okay, let's continue with practicing our interrogatives. They were at the party for 2 hours. How long? How long? Repito, no digáis una jaula grande, un jaulón. Jaulón. How long? How long were they at the party? They were at the party for 2 hours. Only 2 hours. Well, what time did the party start? Well, it started at 8 o'clock in the evening, American time. Well, what do you mean, American time? Well, you see, the party I'm referring to was in San Juan, Puerto Rico. It was in Puerto Rico. And when you have a party, you give two times, American time and Puerto Rican time. And so, if somebody invites you to a party in Puerto Rico, you say, what time's the party? What time does the party start? What time do I need to be there? Well, I say, well, American time, 8 o'clock. And that means you don't really need to go until 10. It's Puerto Rican time is, iremos yendo. We'll go. So the party probably really started at 10 o'clock. And when did it end? Excuse me? When did it end? No te entiendo. When did it end? When did it end? Oh, finish, you mean. Bueno, finish para personas, end para cosas, como un party. When did it end? It ended at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, well, sounds like a good party, eh? Was it fun? Oh, yeah. It was a fun party. But they were, why were they? They were there for only 2 hours. Yes, they arrived around 9 o'clock. There were only about 3 people at the party at 9 o'clock. But everybody started arriving around 10, and things started to pick up. Things started to pick up means things started to accelerate in the party. And then the party got a little bit out of hand. By 10:45, by a quarter to 11, para las 11 menos cuarto más o menos, para. In English, in Espanol, English, bye. By around 11, around 10:45, things started to get out of hand. Yes, there were some certain types of behavior that I think surprised the couple. It was a married couple. We invited them. It was their first week in Puerto Rico. And the man is working in an American company, Coca-Cola, Puerto Rico. The Coca-Cola bottling plant. And he took his wife, and they were a little bit surprised how wild the party was starting to get. And so they left. They thought it was better not to stay because the party was moving in a direction that was not their type of party. So they left. So they were at the party for 2 hours. How long? Repito, no digas un jaulón. How long were they at the party? They were at the party for about 2 hours. I spent $100 on gasoline. How much did you spend? How much did you spend on gasoline? $100. Well, that's not bad. $100 from here to Paris? You drove from here to Paris, right? Well, I drove to Paris with two other people, and we split the gasoline. I mean, we shared the cost. It cost around $300 to drive to Paris and drive back. $300. How much does it cost to fill your tank? It cost 70 euros. Okay. So you spent $300 on gasoline. That means, eso significa, that means that you, you filled your tank about four times, right? Yeah, I think five. Yes, because when I left Madrid for Paris, I only had half a tank. So we had to stop in Medina Celi, near Medina Celi, and get some gas. And then we continued to Bordeaux. No, we didn't. Yeah, we continued. Well, that was a long drive. Madrid, Bordeaux. Yeah. Where did you stay in Bordeaux? We stayed in a normal roadside hotel. A normal what? Roadside hotel. I don't understand what you're saying. A what hotel? I said we stayed at a normal roadside hotel. Ah, roadside, you mean along the side of the road. Yes, any type of hotel or motel you see when you're driving, and there's a hotel along the highway or the motorway, you can call it a roadside hotel. And so we stopped at a roadside hotel, a French chain. And you stayed there, but what time did you reach Bordeaux? We got there around 10 p.m., pretty late. But did you have dinner in the hotel? No. There wasn't a restaurant in the hotel. There was a food machine, but I didn't feel like having dinner with a machine food, a sandwich or something. So we went to a Burger King down the road and had a hamburger. Well, I didn't have a hamburger. I had a chicken sandwich. All right. What they call a long chicken. All right. And a Coke. And that was it. And then we went back to the hotel. And then you drove to Paris the next day. Yeah. What time did you leave Bordeaux? We slept in. We left around 11 o'clock in the morning. And how long did it take you to go to Paris? I don't remember. I think it took around 7 hours, something like that. Not too long. Around 7 hours. But, you know, I don't know. Bordeaux, you say in Spanish. From Bordeaux to Paris by car, I think it's about 7 hours. Maybe six. About 6 hours, I would say. Nope, five and a half. On the toll road. The toll road is in an autopista de peaje. The toll road, 5.5 hours. So we left at 11:30 or 11 o'clock. We stopped along the way for lunch, and so probably in all it took us about 7 hours. So we got to Paris around 6. And where did you park your car? Oh, we had a reservation in a hotel with a parking garage under the hotel. It was no problem. Was there a lot of traffic driving into Paris? No, not too much. Really, not too much. It was a Monday evening, I don't know. There was a lot of traffic leaving Paris in the opposite direction, but not too much going into Paris. Did you have trouble finding the hotel? No, I've been to that hotel several times, and I know how to get there. You know, where is it? Oh, it's in the, well, it's very close to Luxembourg Gardens. It's on the left bank, just north of the Luxembourg Gardens. It's a really upper middle class area. Quite nice. Yes. However, the hotel is right next door, to a, what do you call it? to one of these clubs. The hotel is right next door to a, what do they call it? You know, for those type of people, swingers club, that's what it was. It was right next door. Well, did you visit the club? No. I was tempted, but I think the club's is only for couples. And I was with two business associates. Oh, two other men. Yes, I was with two business associates. Yes, compañeros de negocio, vamos. Business associates. And so he said, hey, look, there's a swingers club. But we didn't go in. We didn't go in. Maybe next time we'll try it. Who knows? All right, but then how long were you in Paris? We were there for two nights only. And then you drove back? No, we drove to Lyon. Why to Lyon? Because one of the factories in our multinational, you see, I work in a multinational, and the European headquarters are located in Paris. Now, the main manufacturing facilities, it's a French multinational, and the main manufacturing facilities are located just outside of Lyon. And so we went down to visit some people in Lyon concerning some quality questions. And then from Lyon, we drove back to Madrid in one day. Come on. Yes. How long did it take you? It took a long time. Yeah, okay, fine. But from Lyon, France, to Madrid, we're talking about 14 hours or something. It took a long time. Yeah, from Madrid, Spain. Let's see how long it takes. Wow. 12 hours. Yeah, it took us 12 hours. Well, did you go through Barcelona? No. Strangely, the fastest route is again through San Sebastian in Bayonne in France and down to Burgos. But Lyon is in the east of France. I mean, it's straight north from Marseille. Correct. But still, aun así, it's a little shorter in time to go from Lyon to Madrid through San Sebastian and Burgos. Oh, look at it on the map. You'll see. You know, you can drive from Lyon down to Montpellier into Narbonne, Perpignan in Gerona, Barcelona, Zaragoza, Madrid, of course. But it's a little bit longer, maybe 20 minutes longer. So we went back basically the same route. We drove to We drove to Bordeaux from Lyon. And then from Bordeaux, we drove down to San Sebastian. And we had lunch in Bordeaux again in the same Burger King. Can you believe it? Yeah, but it took a long time. We left Lyon at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we got into Madrid at around 8:30 in the evening, or 9 o'clock, because we stopped for lunch and we stopped for gasoline twice. And we spent $300 on gasoline. That's how much we spent. He came to see me yesterday afternoon. When did he come to see me? Cuando vino. Él. When did he come to see me? He came to see me yesterday afternoon. And why did he come to see you? He came to see me to ask me for money. Really? And did you give him money? How much did he ask you for? He asked me for 1,000 euros. And did you give it to him? Yeah. Why? Well, because he needed it. Do you think he'll pay you back? Probably not. But you gave it to him even though you suspect that he won't pay you back. Doesn't matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Well, it would matter if he asked me for 10,000 euros, no. Second, if he asked me for 1,000 euros every year, I would say no. But when a friend asks you for money, it's a problem. A friend should never ask another friend for money. You shouldn't. Because it ruins the friendship. The other friend feels obligated and so lends the money. And then the other friend who receives the money then feels guilty because he hasn't returned it yet. And he doesn't have the money returned it. So he starts feeling guilty. He starts to avoid you. But that's okay. I'll transfer to that person the problem. It cost me 1,000 euros. But I transfer to the other person the problem. But I do know that there's an expression in Spanish. Presta dinero a un amigo, pierdes el dinero y pierdes el amigo. Amigo. And it's really, really true. I'm not sure if we have a similar lend money to a friend. Yes? You lose the money and you lose the friend. So, lend your money and lose your friend. Hay un dicho así en inglés, pero no lo conocía. Idiom. Lend your money and lose your friend. Presta dinero y pierde tu amigo. All right, I've never heard that expression. But I prefer the Spanish saying is more precise. And it's true. So, when a person asks me for 1,000 euros, for example, if I say no, I have to give a very good reason, or I just feel that person thinks I'm a cheapskate, or that I'm not a friend. So I lend them the money. And then the burden is on that person. La carga está en él. And so, but I know that probably I'll never see the person again. Or the person will conveniently forget. All right. You know, that this happens. I remember one person. I lent him 100,000 pesetas. And he paid me back, finally, after 10 years. 10 years. I hadn't forgotten, but I didn't call him saying, by the way, when are you going to pay me back? He paid me back about 10 years later. This was in the 1990s, and the inflation was about 10% a year. So probably the money was worth 30% or 40% of the original. He didn't pay me back with interest, but he paid me back. All right, I've lost in my life, I don't know, maybe 7,000 euros lending money that wasn't paid back. Now, that's life. That's life. You have to make a decision on how you're going to approach these things. Now, I've never asked anybody for money in my life. Never. Not even my parents. Well, excuse me. When I was a teenager, I worked, so I usually had my own money. If I didn't, I said, hey, Mom, can you give me $15? Hey, Dad, can you give me $10? Things like that, yeah. But I never asked people outside of not even my family. I've never asked them for money from the point of view because I'm working. Once I started working or had a job, I never asked my parents for money. Never. The only time I asked my parents for money was in the periods, maybe 7 months only, that I wasn't working as a teenager. Well, and before the age 14, 15, when I became a newspaper boy, before that, I had to ask hey, Mom, I need $10. Because I would get on my bicycle and go down to the store to buy something. Yes. But I've never asked, as an adult, I've never asked anybody for money in my life. So it just doesn't, it's not the right thing to do. Find another way to solve your problem. Even if you're starving to death, just go ahead and die of hunger. That reminds me of a very good novel. Well, it's an excellent novel. of Human Bondage by Somerset Maugham. Escrito Maugham, Maugham, como Vaughan. Vaughan se pronuncia en inglés Vaughan. Y Maugham, escrito igual, pero con M a cada lado, a cada extremo, es Maugham. Vaughan Maugham, Somerset Maugham. And he wrote a book called Of Human Bondage. Now, bondage means dominación. Just a second. Of Human Bondage. There a movie was made in 1934 with Betty Davis and the famous actor from Gone with the Wind. What's his name? Leslie Howard. I didn't see the movie because I saw a part of the movie with Betty Davis, but reading the book was enough. The movie is called Cautivo del Deseo. All right, now the novel is called Servidumbre Humana. Servidumbre Humana. And the movie in Spanish is called Cautivo del Deseo. It's a very good book, by the way. It's about a young doctor. Well, he's a medical student in London. And he falls in love with a woman who's not a good woman. But he falls in love and he becomes obsessed. And he almost dies of hunger, of human bondage. Very good book. The book in Spanish, I repeat, is called... I'm still with the movie. I'm trying to get away. Es que no pone el libro. Let's see. Betty Davis is based on this Of Human Bondage. Por fin voy a entrar en el libro. Of Human Bondage. No viene en español Wikipedia about this. That's too bad because I read this book when I was maybe 18. I was pretty young, or maybe 17. And it made a strong impression on me, the book. And there's a moment where he is dying of hunger. And a person, the father of a friend of his, realizes this and they take him in and help him. But he didn't ask anybody for money. All right, let's go on, shall we? Otherwise, we'll run out of time. All right. We won 7 matches. How many matches did you win? Did you? Did he? Did she? Did you? How many matches did you win? We won 7 matches. Really? Well, congratulations. Did you win the title? No, we lost in the finals. Oh, really? Okay, it was a doubles, right? Yes. It was Wimbledon doubles. We won 7 matches, but we lost the final. All right. They lost 2 games. How many games did they lose? They won 2 games, they lost 2 games. How many games did they win? How many games did they lose? Now, in American English, game is un partido deportivo. Okay. Match is un partido deportivo entre dos. O entre cuatro si es dobles, como en tenis. A match. Match means cazar, hacer juego. O sea, tu camisa hace juego con tu pantalón. Your shirt matches your trousers. Matches. Match also is cazar. Es como los colores cazan. The colors match. O no cazan. They don't match. A matchmaker is a casamentera. Alcahueta. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Match. So match normalmente is dos oponentes o dos componentes, and they match. And that's why we say in American English, match only for these types of sports, where there are 2 people playing against each other, or two people against 2 people in tennis. We call it a match. A tennis match. A ping pong match. Match play in golf, which is different. A different way of approaching golf tournaments. Otherwise, we say game. The British say a football match, and it sounds very strange for Americans to hear that. A football match played on the pitch. We say a football game played on the field. That's interesting about languages. They lost 2 games. How many games did they lose? I made only two mistakes. How many mistakes did you make? How many mistakes did you buy? I made only two. Well, that's two mistakes too many. Next time, I want a perfect score. But there were 100 questions. Come on. I only missed two. I got 98%. The next time, I want 100%. I can't believe my son missed two questions. You made two mistakes. Yeah, but it was, Dad, it was only two. The next time, none. No mistakes. All right. He did it last night. Oh, great. When did he do it? When did he do it? When did he do it? Esta dureza de la D. Fonética imposible para los hispanohablantes. When did he do it? He did it last night. And I'll be right back.
Aprovecha el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resuelve tu viejo problema con el inglés de manera definitiva. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Urban Camps, aventuras e inglés. Este verano no dejes que se te escapen.
Contact us now for a free level test and get started on your trimestrales right away. Your English adventure awaits. Trimestrales de Vaughan.
Hello, this is Fitz of No Excuses. Do you know the English expression, you never know until you try? Well, with video conference classes, you never know until you try. Many people will say, no, no, it can't work. It can and it does. You never know until you try. Vaughan Video Conference Classes.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan Telephone Class teacher.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Nuestro curso online es único por una sencilla razón. Nuestros profesores son los mejores del mercado. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso, Richard Brown, nuestros All Stars desde cualquier lugar. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día. Quédate en casa y aprovecha para poner en forma tu inglés. Entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Pruébalo durante 2 semanas y si no te gusta, te devolvemos el dinero. cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com, porque hay muchos, pero solo uno de Vaughan.
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura 3 meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at grupovaughan.com.
Aprovecha el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resuelve tu viejo problema con el inglés de manera definitiva. Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad,